Excuse me.
I suggest that
we had announced marrying, but we had a number of meetings that weren't webcast.
No, exactly.
Yeah, but Dave had brought this to us earlier, and we have functioned that way before.
Folks,
pardon
I'm
me?
Sorry. Let me jump in here, folks. In fact, we have made every effort to have meetings except those which we decided to have an executive session, which had to do with some of the financial issues. I think those are the only ones, really.
Democracy Now.
And Democracy Now, which was a contract issue, that those which we are allowed to have an executive session. Every other session has been, except for the last one, which, again, there was a technical problem, but we have made every effort to have them webcast.
I think we're making the effort now. The point I'm making is let's get on with the meeting.
Yes.
Well, my point is simply this. Look, I mean, setting aside the technical and legalistic issues, the political issue is this. If we were to proceed and make a dramatic decision at this meeting without it being webcast, we'd be dealing with nothing but that issue for the next 3 months.
Well, the other side of this argument is this is an issue that we shouldn't even be addressing in the first place. So the point is we can throw out legal stuff all to. Let's just get on with the meeting and the vote. Gracious.
Who just?
It's George. I'm sorry.
George is back.
I apologize to all of you.
That's fine, George.
I like the sound of trains myself.
Okay, what I'd like to do is a very quick rundown, take a vote on whether or not to proceed or wait until we have an update on technical issues.
So moved. This is Carol, so moved.
Okay.
What was that now?
George, I'm sorry you missed this. There's a technical problem with the webcast. The issue before us now, should we proceed with the meeting and hope that they figure out the technical problem, or should we wait until we hear whether or not the webcast is happening? So Carol just put up a motion. Carol, state your motion.
The motion is to wait until webcast so that we can comply with FCC regulations.
A point of information?
Yes.
Hi, this is Scooter, and you're on the web.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
So
it's moved.
I withdraw the motion.
Excellent.
Thank you, Scooter.
Okay, so now,
good.
Safari, again, I just want to welcome the people listening to the webcast. Sorry for the technical problems. Now, Jabari is going to make a motion.
The Pacifico National Board hereby directs the executive director and his staff to cease all actions and planning to move the Pacifico National Office and Finance Office from Washington, D.C. to Berkeley until otherwise instructed by the Pacifico National Board after a complete review and analysis of the feasibility of doing so.
Second.
I object to that motion. This is David.
Said I seconded. I can second it.
Bert, we got you. Bert Lee is seconding it. Okay.
And I object to that motion. This is David Furtick. On procedural grounds, insofar as this is essentially then a motion to reconsider a motion previously made, and as Jabari voted against that motion previously, he does not have standing to make a motion for reconsideration, and that is really the substance of this motion.
I am not. The motion, that's not the motion. The motion is not to rescind the action to move. The motion is to rescind any. The motion is what the motion is, to stop the direction of the executive director from taking, to participating in any action to move the national office until we have gotten enough information to do a feasibility study and to vote that it is now time to do so. That
right,
is the motion.
Right. We're not voting to
remove it
change.
Immediately.
And we're not voting to change the resolution, but to modify it. So therefore, anyone on the board can make a motion.
Yeah, we're voting to change the way it's being executed.
Right.
Exactly.
I think, David, I understand.
But I put a second up now. What is your ruling on that? Is this not a second? Don't we now go to a vote?
No, excuse me, Bert. Let me just finish. What I was about to say was that I think the motion is a legitimate one, and it's been seconded.
You don't need to say that. If I've seconded it, you've now been moved. And what is it? You don't have to explain to us what we know.
Bert, let me just try and chair the meeting, facilitate the meeting. I think we can do this in an orderly way. The motion is on the floor. What I'd like to ask for is one speaker against the motion and one speaker for the motion, and then move into general discussion. Just so we
Rob,
hear.
Rob, you want to speak for the motion, Rob?
I'll speak for the motion.
And I'll be more, this is Pete, I'll be more than happy to speak against the motion.
Okay, Pete. Pete first and then Rob.
Okay.
Leslie, I think usually a person speaks for the motion before
first.
Against. But.
Right.
It doesn't matter to me, Leslie, however you'd like to do it. Does it really matter?
It doesn't matter how she likes to do it, it's how the laws are made. Now, are we going to do this in a legal way, or are we going to have some bull crap?
I'm not going to participate in any bull crap. I second the motion. You're supposed to then move to vote on that motion.
No. Now we have discussion. Now we're having discussion on the motion.
And we're not going to vote before we have discussion.
Okay. Pete and then Rob.
Don't say, hey, whoever said that, you keep your mouth shut. I'll be what I want
to
be.
Please, Bert, I need to ask you and everybody else.
Well, listen, you didn't ask him. This other guy's reading some simple questions that don't make any darn sense. So go on and chair your meeting.
Thank you. And I would ask that everybody please try and keep the tempers down and let's speak to the points.
You haven't seen my temper, Rob.
Bert, please, Bert.
I just wanted you said something, and I wanted to let you know. You haven't seen my temper up.
Well, let's save it for a different occasion.
Wait, please. Let's not go there. Pete has the floor.
Thank you. I will make this as short as possible, but also speak to a couple of points. The Pacifica, part of the settlement was based on making and undoing some wrongs and to get the Pacifica Network's house in order. Part of those items were, you know, make some changes at the station manager level. Part of it was the Houston interim lab. Part of it was return the band and fire to WBAI. And part of it was confirm and put in place the move to Berkeley. The issue before us is, do we continue to do what we promised we were going to do to various constituencies to move the network, which was stolen in the dead of night, back to the Berkeley location, which is what was the right thing to do, and we voted on it and had process around it. Rob and others have decided to put forth what I call, various issues that have nothing to do with the fact that we need to make the move. We have promised and we have voted to do so. By doing so, by moving back to Berkeley, we have an issue around accountability, which is not there in any of the other signal areas. There is a proven history in Berkeley of accountability and an awareness of what was built and why it was built. Not only was there a commitment from the Berkeley community and the signal area to support Pacifica, and it had been proven not only through generating income, but the support with people marching in the street was the fact there was a building put together specifically to house the network. Pacifica, the old regime, stole it in the middle of the night, and part of undoing the wrong was bringing it back to Berkeley. The issue at hand, which presents itself to this board, is in what manner do we consistently go back and reopen previously decided decisions? Mr. Robinson and others have decided that we need to go back and revisit issues that have been deliberated and voted on, and we are now setting what I feel is a terrible precedent for opening up previously made decisions and going about it. I feel as though the manner and the tone that this issue has been brought up is a slap in the face to many of us on the board and will only lead to greater and further contention and differences. We are now faced with a decision of doing what we have committed to do, which is to move the national office back to Berkeley in due time, and we are now faced on this meeting with taking a look at and making a change to something that we have committed to do. And I think that's abhorrent, and I think it's against everything we have fought long and hard to do for many, many years. Thank you.
Okay, Rod.
Sure. I want to make very, very clear, first of all, that Jabari and I have never philosophically opposed the concept of moving the headquarters back to Berkeley. What we're concerned about is the full board being able to undertake its due diligence and exercise its fiduciaries in making that decision and the things that relate to it. Currently, the Interim Pacifica National Board has got three things that we need to do to transition. We need to revise our bylaws, we need to conduct lab elections, and we need to usher in a new Pacifica National Board. Our other fiduciaries should involve stabilizing the organization, working with station management and the labs to reduce our conflicts and to begin meeting and planning budgets and discussing things that are going to allow for a renaissance of Pacifica in view of our mission and our programming, our history of programming. As a board member, I initially brought suit against this board years ago because of several things. One of them was that all of the decision-making was relegated to one or two board members. and the full board was unable to deliberate and discuss the business of the organization. We were derelict then, and we were derelict now. We did not discuss our fiduciaries in March in L.A. around this issue. We were prevented from doing that. Mr. Wisdom, for example, told us in February and reiterated in June the impact that this move would have if, for example, a finance office was moved precipitately from D.C. to Berkeley. We also have not carefully looked at the figures, and that's my concern. I've talked in the past about Pacifica's ability to deal with the structural problems. We've got a foundation that doesn't raise funds. We've got a national media network that's been cut off from programming. We have a single national program that we produce now, and we haven't added to our collective of five stations in 5 years. We're still not dealing with these issues. What we've put in place in the past is a culture of governance that schemes for power and control rather than dealing with our mission, with our programming, which is what we're historically known for, and with the organizational health and creating a good workplace. Further, I would like to insist that when we met in March, the atmosphere was almost one of duress. We had not discussed the affairs. We simply took a vote. And we're talking about being able to exercise our due diligence and our fiduciary responsibilities and discuss this. We want to discuss how, when, and under what conditions we do that. And I'll tell you precisely why I'm concerned. I'm concerned because at this point, we have a bylaws proposal which is threatening to basically gut the national board and create a 90-member board with no function and station governing boards that have power over local programs, and national affairs will be governed by the five lab chairs and 10 other people that are elected from the local stations. So we're looking at a proposal which will effectively gut any function for the foundation, any role for national programming, and it's like a declaration of confederacy that sets up five stations as individual corporations. I think this does incredible violence to the mission and to our role as a voice for the voiceless, and I oppose that.
Okay, folks, I just wanted to sorry, Rob, I don't mean to cut you off. You're done?
Yes.
Okay, great. I want to suggest so that we not get into the bylaws discussion now. I understand why you raised it, Rob, but let's not get into that. Let's stay focused on this issue at hand. So I want to know who wants to speak. And actually, I'd like to see if it's okay with people. Dan, as executive director, someone in the office, if you want to share any information or shed any light on this discussion.
Yeah, hi, Leslie. Well, I'll just make two quick points. The first point is that I believe we can successfully and responsibly make the transition to Berkeley over the course of the next 3 to 4 months, 2 to 4 months. The key issue facing the finance office is the FY02 audit, which requires the independent accounting firm and our national accounting staff to work together in the initial part of the audit, which is scheduled to begin in November and presumably be completed in January. I believe that process can be successfully and professionally and responsibly completed within the context of the transition to Berkeley. That would be the first point that I would make. The second issue that I would raise is that I think it is important to move forward with the transition at this point. This has been a process in one form or another that has been lasting 6 months since March. We have made a whole host of decisions, financial, personnel, and other operational decisions that have been predicated upon that board resolution from March. And I believe that it's critical that we move forward with that process. The horse is out of the barn. And in my view, we should continue with this process, which will, at the end of the day, strengthen and build the foundation further. So I would strongly encourage the board at this point, notwithstanding, I understand and appreciate the concerns of colleagues throughout Pacifica on this matter, but at this point, for those two reasons, one, that we can successfully and professionally manage this transition, and two, that we need to move forward with the process, I would recommend that we continue with the course that we've been on now for 6 months.
Okay, I want to know who wants to speak on this issue.
I have a question.
Ray?
Okay, all right. George has a question. Ray wants to speak. Who else will want to?
This is Pete. I'd like to speak.
And Dave?
Dave. Okay, we'll start with George, and then we'll go Ray, Pete, Dave.
I'm all for the move. I'm just concerned that if the accountant is saying don't do it, you know, the accountant's the expert. He knows what's going on, and I defer to him greatly. And as much faith as I have in Dan, when a professional accountant is telling you, you know, for the health of the organization, you may want to stabilize it for a little while before uprooting it. That has great sway with me, and that's all I know. I mean, I'm impressed with you with your confidence that we can do it. But what does anybody know? Can you flesh out for me the accountant's perspective?
Yeah, I think there's a number of different issues that the accountant has raised, the independent auditors have raised over the last 7 months regarding Pacifica's finances. From the finances office point of view, in the next several months, we have a couple of key tasks ahead of us. One is the FY03 budget, which hopefully that process should be done at the Houston board meeting. We have the FY01 audit, which was just recently completed and which maybe you even have in your hands as of now. We have monthly financial income and expenses reports, which we need to be getting to the Finance Committee, to the Treasurer, and to the full board on a regular basis. We believe that process will be beginning within the next several weeks, monthly financial reports to the board. And the other key issues are the permanent building a permanent staff. Remember, right now, our accounting staff, we have only two permanent staff on board right now, an interim controller, of course, who's done a great job, Yasmin. But we need to build that permanent accounting staff, including a CFO. And then the most critical element, as far as I understand it, directly from Ross and Yasmin, the key issue here, one of the key issues, is the FY02 audit. And that relates to the move because the independent auditors and our accounting staff need to work together to finish that job, which is slated to begin in November, and as I said earlier, end in January. I think that is the only really key issue, accounting issue, that affects the move at this point. And based upon that, I believe that we can successfully manage that task within the context of a move of the national office to the West Coast. So I believe those issues are manageable. I've been planning on it for 6 months. I think if problems do arise, we would, of course, put the interests of the foundation and the network first and bring it to the Finance Committee, to the Treasurer, to the board, if we can't responsibly meet that deadline. But as of this point, and I don't want to preclude what may happen in the near future, all sorts of accounting problems do arise. But at this point, I believe that we can manage that transition.
Okay, Ray.
Who's that? Was that Dan talking?
Yes, that was Dan. So we have Ray, and then Pete, and then David.
And then Teresa.
But Leslie?
Yes?
Are we allowed to ask questions of Dan? Or?
Sure. Do you want to do that now?
Yeah, just a brief question. I don't want to supersede anybody else.
Yes,
go.
But it's my understanding that we've been kind of tight in terms of payroll, and this obviously would impact upon our day-to-day operations. Could you give us some background on that?
Yeah, we've had a cash flow problem for 7 months, which we're just hopefully emerging from in a very positive way within the next 2 months or so. But as of now, we are still fairly tight with cash flow. But again, you know, that's an issue that should hopefully be resolved at the latest at the end of October with our fall fund drives. In terms of payroll issues, I think, you know, you're talking about two different things. One, the regular payroll. And then the second issue would be, what is the impact of the move to Berkeley on our payroll? And I think what we would like to do is to ensure some overlap between the Washington office and a Berkeley office, and Yasmin and other staff have made it clear that they're willing to extend their stay here at Pacifica to ensure that the office is properly transitioned. That may mean some overlap in salaries, which would have to be built into the cost of the overall move.
Okay, so then can we go back to the list? Okay, Ray? Ray? All right, well, keep going.
Hello?
Ray, you're
yes,
on.
Sorry.
You're on, Ray.
Yes, I wanted to address myself to a great extent right now, at least, to the way we're going to conduct this discussion. I believe that the reason that we are in a kind of a crisis mode is that we have proceeded very emotionally. I saw the letter that initiated the discussions, and even though I object to some of the language in it, I think there was enough substance in terms of the way the pace at which things were pushed forward, and I believe it was done because people really felt that they did something very dear that they were about to lose, but it also was based on, I guess, some mistrust of the other players in this game. And I know recently both Dave Fertig and Carl Spooner have had emails where they've, you know, urged people to look at, although it's a slightly different context, but to, you know, to not to assume the worst immediately about other people's position because they happen to disagree with you. I personally, as far back as the national meeting in Los Angeles, urge that we take a look at, do what we're doing now and do it by the time we, 3 months later, and postpone it for 3 months only with a certainty that we wouldn't have moved by then. And it's clear that we didn't move. Not only we didn't move by the Berkeley meeting, now we're going to get it to go to Houston. It's 6 months later, and we haven't moved yet. However, again, I believe that people are afraid that there's something very tenuous there, that you have to move it now or forever lose it. I received a letter, an email from a very respected person, at least the 20 I respect, who's a former member of this board, and many of these arguments were similar to this, very emotional, actually comparing what the action of people would vote against that, I mean, in favor of that move of delaying it, comparing it to the action of the board when they remove a voice from the local advisory boards, which I think is rather extreme comparison. However, he also pointed to the fact that this is, as we are constituted right now, this is the last time that we will get a chance to vote for the move, and that once we go, and this is an extension, I guess, if we keep pace with the schedule allocated time, that most likely, once we go past Houston, we could not vote again to make this move. So to me, I'd like to stick to facts. For example, I'm very interested in what Dan Coughlin has to say, because he's the one in charge of carrying this procedure, and to me, his opinion is at least as valid as Mr. Wisdom's opinion, which I think should be considered. So what I was trying to urge here is that I understand that many of us have pressure on us from our constituents, but I think that part of the reason why we're here today is because we haven't done it properly, and I'm urging us to take this opportunity. And not, for example, I disagree with Pete that this is something that if you make a mistake or if this is something that reasonable people in fair quantity of them question, I think we should never be in a position to say, you know, something we voted and therefore we should not come back. I think a great example of that is the contract with Democracy Now, where we have admitted that things could have been done differently, and we have proceeded to hopefully correct and learn from our lessons. So these are my words for today, up to now.
Okay.
I have a question for him. This is Bertram Lee.
Well,
yes. For me?
For who?
Who just spoke.
Okay, that was Ray. Okay, Bert, we'll let you jump in the line here.
Yes, Bert.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Ray, what I did not understand was when you indicated that there were some people who felt they would lose something, to whom are you referring or to what are you referring?
Well, I was, in this case, primarily referring to the people who live in Berkeley, who feel that this is something precious that they have nurtured, they have paid for and struggled for. And sometimes they feel so strongly about it that in a misguided way sometimes they say that this is what you have written to us, you know, not realizing that this particular element is actually is for all of us. It's not just for Berkeley. That unlike maybe moving back the fight element to WBAI, which is more of a local issue, that moving this network from Washington to Berkeley to anywhere else is a national issue. That's what I meant.
But well, I don't understand what you mean when you say they had worked. I understand they worked for it, but they had paid for it. The other people who contribute don't pay?
I didn't mean to. What I meant to imply, what I was referring to again, was the fact that they have done tremendous work even before the national network was created, and I understand that they have paid substantially for building the actual structure where the headquarters would be housed.
Okay.
But I never meant that to mean that. Exactly. I'm saying the opposite in a way, that I recognize the contribution, but this is a national issue, and this is a national discussion.
Could I get on the queue, Leslie?
Yes. Okay, we have Pete, Dave, Teresa, Carol.
A couple of issues on what I think are the overinflated costs that have been attributed to the move. There are, I think, some good research that's been done, not only to prove the fact that it's not going to cost what Jabari has stated, which is in the neighborhood of $300,000, but more like $50,000. And not only had there been a group of people who were willing to raise money for the entire move, but also we can cut costs by getting discounted furniture and used furniture in Berkeley without having to move it. So that's issue one. Issue two, question to Dan is Mr. Wisdom, is Mr. Wisdom's comments more related to our move and timeline ability once the fiscal 2002 budget has been completed?
Yeah, let me just say that Ross is not taking a position, or the auditor is not taking a position on whether one should move or not. Ross's position is mostly strictly to do with the mechanics of where we are in terms of the accounting office, et cetera. So his particular set of concerns focus, the primary concern, as I understand it, having spoken with him directly about it, is the FY02 audit. That is his prime concern. I think it would be also fair to say that it's the concern of all of us, and I know Jabari shares this as well, that, and Carol, of course, who has been raising this on a number of issues, that our financial reporting becomes regular. And that is another issue of concern to all of us. But again, that issue should be beginning financial reporting very, very soon on a regular basis to the board and to the treasurer.
And when will the audit be finished?
Which audit?
02.
That is slated to begin in November. It's slated to end in January. But, again, caution, that's just the timeline that exists right now. It may take longer. It may take shorter. But that's what it's scheduled for right now.
Okay. Dave was next.
I'll defer.
Defer, Teresa.
Okay. Hello. This is Teresa.
Yes.
Regard to the independent auditor, it just struck me, and I'm sorry that I didn't take. I'm sorry I didn't take any action at the Berkeley meeting when the independent auditor made that comment. To me, it just that was a slap in the face. For me to hear that when he said, takes as long as it might take, you know, and I thought he was saying don't move, and I thought we should do something about that. Another thing is I don't think that there's anything wrong in learning as we go. I heard Carol Spooner speak up most emphatically about revisiting Democracy Now, and I think rather than make a mistake, I think it would be prudent just to think about what we're doing and learn from it. I think, Rob, you had the wrong figure. You said we hadn't had a new station in 5 years. Isn't it more
25.
Like
25?
25, yeah.
It's 25 years. Why have we not had any new stations in 25 years? When the headquarters has been at Berkeley, why no new stations in 25 years? Does that maybe say something about our lack of direction? And maybe we need to give some serious consideration to focusing on the mission again. And that relates to me, it seems to me like I'd like to be at a point where we reach out rather than reach in. I think we should take the make the interest of the foundation first. I just came from the Grassroots Radio Coalition. Those people just were selfless, and I don't see that. I just don't see a selflessness.
Okay.
And one more thing.
Yes. Yes.
And I would like to think, I know when it comes to this foundation, we are only as strong as our weakest link. We have five stations, and it really alarms me when I know Berkeley's hurting, and it may very well be the best thing to bring it back, but I would like us to think about bigger issues before we make the move back to Berkeley, because it seems like we have like a canary and we don't want it to escape and we're squeezing it to death. And I think that we're more than just Berkeley. We have to remember the most important thing is the health of the entire foundation. I'd like to concentrate on that. So if the move to Berkeley is really the best thing for the whole foundation, I'm saying, you know, why haven't we had a new station in 25 years? Why are we so selfish? Why is all this backbiting? I'm not so sure. It just came from this past struggle. I'd like to work a little bit more on our mission and our overall health. That's all.
Okay. Carol, then I'd like to put myself on the list.
I want to get on, too.
Who's that?
Jabari.
Okay. So,
and if I can get on Dave Ferdinand here, if I can get on after Jabari, I'd appreciate it.
Okay, so I have Carol, myself, Jabari, and David. Carol?
I don't believe we've made a mistake. I think we've made a commitment to the people who put us here in this interim position. I'd also like to speak. I do believe this is in the best interest of the entire foundation. Beginning in the early 90s, the foundation launched a capital campaign and built the National Office Building. We raised a lot of money to build it in Berkeley at the historic founding place of Pacifica. And that has meant a great deal to the many people who were asked to and did build the building. I think that we need to understand that our fiduciary responsibility means when we ask people for money for a specific purpose, we carry that out. We did raise several million dollars to build that building. We told people that was the national home of Pacifica. And for us to change that is actually a breach of our trust, of the trust that we accepted from people when we built the building, when we asked them for money to build it. That's a 10-year-long commitment. I think that speaks to the trustworthiness of the foundation. When we go to donors in the future, perhaps we will want to acquire another license or another station. We may want to do a major capital campaign for some important purpose. If they look at us and say, we've reneged on our prior commitments to communities when we launched capital campaigns and changed our mind and decided we weren't going to have use the building that they gave us the money for the purpose we told them, then why should they give us money for a new capital campaign? I think that's a very important issue. I also believe perhaps not everyone has received their email. We did receive a request from four of the five lab chairs stop this move to stall and to get the move back to Berkeley, office move back to Berkeley, as promised. As the entire Pacifica movement over the last 3 years has requested to get the office back where it belongs. I think we need to acknowledge the history of Pacifica. Lou Hill left Washington, D.C. for a reason, to come to the West Coast to found Pacifica, where he found a climate that he thought was conducive to the mission and the purposes of the foundation. And he wrote about that. And I think that is also meaningful when we commit to our mission. Let's see. We also received last night or this morning an appeal from a Berkeley City Council member, Chris Worthington, telling us how important KPFA and the Pacifica National Office is to Berkeley, asking us to bring it home. And he told us, reminded us of the great support of the City of Berkeley for Pacifica Foundation over the past 53 years, and indeed, of course, over the last 3 years. And he reminded us of the Vice Mayor of Berkeley, Maudel Sharek, who is 91 years old, a great lady of African-American heritage, who chose to be arrested in defense of Pacifica in 1999. I'm hoping that we can, before that lady passes on, bring Pacifica home and have her be the chairperson of the parade greeting the truck. That's been my dream for quite a long time. I think we need to keep our commitment. I think thousands of people have worked endless hours to restore Pacifica to its mission, and this is one of the very important points that means a great deal to all of them. I think also that it is not impractical or overly expensive. As Dan has pointed out, we need to expand our accounting staff. We need a CFO. We need more bookkeeping staff. Delaying the move delays hiring those people. We can't do it in Washington when we're about to move to Berkeley. It delays getting our accounting staff and all of our services up and fully functional. I believe that Ross Wisdom's comments said that when we have regular financial reports and the O2 audit done, we can move. Well, we should have, as Dan said, regular financial reports generated in the next beginning in the next few weeks, certainly by October, and we should have our audit completed in January. I believe we must fulfill our commitments. We've not made a mistake, and I hope everyone will vote against this motion.
Okay, I have myself, then Jabari and David. I agree.
Bertram Lee, I would like to be added to the list.
Okay, definitely, I'll put you on
the list. Can you put me after again, Leslie?
Okay.
I said Bertram Lee would like to be added to the list.
Myself,
yes,
Jabari, David, Bert, and then Ray. Okay. Just, I don't want to repeat the things that people have said who are opposed to this motion. I do want to emphasize two or three things. I'll do it quickly. One is this issue of that we need to look at the bigger issues in terms of what's important for the foundation overall. I think that's the lens through which I look at this issue and the lens through which I try to look at all these issues. But I think part of our job in this period of transition in this organization is to do whatever we can in realistic and clear ways to right the wrongs that were done. We were asked to do that by returning the fired and banned to New York City, to WBAI in New York, and we did that as the board. We were asked to do that in terms of the situation with the lab in Houston, with there being two labs, and we took action on that and encouraged the combination, the combining of those two labs. I think the way the office was moved out of Berkeley in the middle of the night and brought across the country to Washington was an assault not on Berkeley but on the foundation, on the history of the foundation, which includes all five stations. I think that is a wrong that was done that we are trying to right at this point. The other issue I want to make right now is that, as I, again, someone should correct me if I'm wrong, as I understand it, nobody is arguing that we should not move the office. It's a question of when. And we have different ideas of how prudent that would be, you know, quickly or later. Given that, I think that we need time. If this move is going to happen in a smooth way to avoid chaos and confusion, to have it a smooth and orderly transition, the staff and anybody who can help the staff need the time to do that. In these coming weeks, between now and Houston, the staff could be doing a great deal of research. I put out on the email yesterday some very initial figures that I got. More research needs to be done. More planning needs to happen. I think it's crazy to slow down the process by directing the staff not to do that work and put things in place that would help make a more orderly and smooth transition. So, again, for those reasons, and I hope you all had a chance to read the memo I put out yesterday, a host of other reasons, too, I think it is, I will definitely vote against this motion. I think it is the wrong motion at the wrong time.
I want to make a correction.
Okay.
Leslie, what we are saying is that until the board is allowed to discuss its fiduciaries around how and when and why, we can't make an informed decision, and we were not allowed to make those discussions to undertake that due diligence.
I understand, and I disagree. I believe that this issue was first raised at the January meeting. That was rushed, and therefore that it was put on hold until the March meeting in L.A., and it was on there. People had time to do due diligence. People had time to ask questions, do research, investigate stuff. There was discussion. And beyond that, actually, this issue of the office relocating back to Berkeley has been on the agenda of this movement to reclaim Pacifica and rebuild Pacifica since the move 2.5 years ago. This is not a new issue.
Leslie?
Oh, anyway,
can I respond to something you said?
Well, Jabari was next, and David.
No. I'm responding to your statement.
Well, Jabari,
that's consistent with what we've been doing.
Jabari, are you okay with that?
Oh, certainly.
Jabari doesn't have to be okay with it. That's what you've allowed with everybody else. Why are you going to do change things all of a sudden?
Excuse me, sir. James.
Excuse you? If you're going to run a meeting, you need to know how to run it.
No. Let's be civil.
With regard.
This is not being civil. Listen, I'm tired of that crap. This is not being civil. Other people had spoken, and someone wanted to raise a question about something that they said, and they were allowed to do so.
James is about
to finish. May I finish? Are you going to interrupt me?
Bert, you're out of order, James.
Well, so are you. So are you. Now, what, we can both be out of order.
Okay. James?
Yeah, with regards to the time you say we had to do due diligence on this move, you claim that from March until, I guess, now, we had time to...
No, between January and March.
Okay, January and March. Well, it's interesting that if that's the case, then why don't we know how much it would cost or how much we project it would cost to move?
Good
point.
And so the question I have is, I think this should be clear, I'm not sure that we're all in disagreement with the notion that we will eventually move back to Berkeley. Maybe I'm talking out my ass, but the truth is, under the circumstance, that's not what we're talking about. I think the motion talks to the fact that people want the time to be able to analyze and make sure that it does not negatively impact on the strength of the direction of this organization. And I'm not sure why we're claiming that we've had enough time to do due diligence when, in fact, we've never done due diligence.
Okay, let me just – my understanding is that the motion specifically calls on the staff, the executive director and the national staff to not take any action.
To actually move until such time we've had a time.
Okay, let me just finish. Until the board meets again in Houston where there will be further discussion. Is that not the motion?
Including planning.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Not take any action, including planning.
How can we do due diligence without planning?
Is that what the motion is?
We do it all the time.
Yeah, that's
Can you read it again?
Jabari, can you restate the motion? Well, Jabari's next anyway. So, Jabari, can you state the motion again and make your comments? Jabari?
You didn't write the motion down?
Well, yeah, several people have asked to clarify the motion, and then also make whatever comments you want to make.
Well, the motion is what I said it was, and the bottom line is the thrust of it is that, to the contrary of what people have been stating, there has been no due diligence. Due diligence requires study, presentation of information, analysis, and a careful thought out consideration of all the issues that would have to be affected in the whole process. Obviously, that has not taken place. I just put out Thursday my estimates, written estimates, not hearsay estimates, not rhetorical estimates. I put on paper what I thought
based on a very limited itemization of direct and indirect cost. Nobody that has talked against or who is in favor of this move have ever addressed the indirect cost, which I stated would be combined much greater than any of the direct costs. Dan said that Mr. Wisdom didn't say anything about not moving. He said specifically in the open Berkeley meeting, do not move the finance office. I believe it was you, Leslie, who asked him, when would it be feasible? He said 12 to 24 months. I said 2 to 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so these are facts that are being misrepresented. I put out an estimate that had a low figure of $135,000 in direct cost and $350,000 in direct cost. That was the range. Nobody who has spoken for this move has put out one iota of an estimate of any of the costs, have not itemized anything. This is not
Jabari,
due diligence.
Can you see my email?
No,
again?
You don't make a decision.
Who is that to interrupt
about how much it costs?
What meeting is this? Why can you be interrupted and nobody else can be?
Okay.
See her. Come on, Leslie. If he's seen your, I assume he saw it if you sent it out. Why are you going to interrupt him?
Jabari.
Okay, thank you. So the whole issue is there's a lot of, unfortunately, I understand completely the emotional attachment to the Berkeley people in particular and to many other people. I understand that. That is, unfortunately, what is only driving the consideration, I feel, of many of those people. I am in full understanding of that. I am not in, disregard of that. But we as an organization cannot make substantial moves as this is based on the mere emotional attachment of one particular group of people at the expense of the whole organization and without the input, without the considered and requested input of Houston, of New York, of Washington, and of L.A., and even of different people in Berkeley. That is not due diligence, and that is not considered democratic, transparent operation of an organization. It is no different than Bush saying we want to go to war with Iraq because we want to go with our war against Iraq, and we've got our analysis to say that we have the right to go to war against Iraq. It is no different than people saying we bought it, it's ours. It is not Berkeley's. It belongs to the Pacifica family, and we have to act. And we have to respect and we have to observe and consider other people to be a part of the family and put everything on the table before you make the request to do something. Not try to justify it after you ramrodded it through people's throats. So that's the basis of why I and many of us see this, because I feel that this interim board does not have the responsibility, is not tasked, is certainly not tasked under the settlement agreement to take part in this action. We have three things to do, as Rob said. We are supposed to do the bylaws, get the LABs in place, and then seat a permanent board. And while we do this, we are not to engage in major contracts. We are to maintain physical stability of the organization and keep the thing going until we can get on permanent setting footing, reduce our debt, which is still $1.3 million for people listening, and outstanding professional service liability, which we are not even addressing. I want to do what we were supposed to do under the settlement agreement. I want to create a vibrant Pacifica that will accommodate and benefit and work for all the five listening areas. And, in fact, I want to see this organization grow to 10 to 15 to 20 stations. And as long as we are involved in these parochial, emotionally charged issues, that this mere conversation and meeting is demonstrating is divisive to the forward-moving aspects of this foundation, I would just ask Carol
Pete, Dave, and yourself, Leslie, if you had done this in the correct way, if you had put forward the documented estimates of the cost, we wouldn't be here right now, because it is not the people who are against the move that have to justify the cost figures. It is people who are for the thing that have to come up with the cost figures and the justification for it. You are flipping the responsibility of who has to justify it. So until you all recognize, honestly, that it is not us who are trying to stall anything, it is that you have been insufficient in supplying for the whole Pacifica network, for every listener supporter out there who has contributed money to this organization. This is what it's going to cost. This is why we think it's necessary. This is how it will help the whole network, not just a group of people in Berkeley who feel personally affronted. Until you do that, and until that discussion is brought to the whole network, then you will continue to have this type of internecine squabbling and adversarial relationships, because you are not respecting the will and the consideration of other people. And that's the major factor I feel that is causing this to happen. You have to put your stuff on the table and justify it. It is not justifiable just to say, I feel this needs to be done. You have to put something tangible in writing so we can discuss it as honest people, as deliberative people, as adult people. You are treating other people as children and as submissive underlings. I don't like that. Many other people don't like that. When I presented stuff to you, then I brought forth rationale. I bring forth cost figures. I bring it to the people. I don't say I'm going to do this, and I'll write the checks and do it, and I don't give a damn. I don't treat you like that, but in many respects, the hypocrisy of how the people who are promoting this are treating the people who are merely saying, let's put it on the table and consider it in light of the totality of the things that we must look at. And I am finished.
Okay. I have David and then Bert and then Ray, and I would like to wrap it up because it's now almost 10 after 3 East Coast time. Have those three people speak and then see if we can move to a vote.
Yeah, this is Dave Fertig. Jabbar, I regret the assertion that there is a side for the move and a side against the move, although, of course, there are some people that are very strongly and unequivocally against the move, I guess, although that hasn't really been said. What's been said is that it's not practical, it's not feasible, we're not being responsible, we're not against it, we just want to see facts and figures. I appreciate that. I do, too. But the fact is, it should not be an emotionally driven thing. I agree with that as well. It should be a logical, sensible thing. It should be something calculated to achieve stability. We may disagree on whether or not this will achieve a greater degree of stability. I believe it shall. I recognize it will cost. It will cost more than a bunch of beacons boxes. It will cost personnel. It will cost transition. It will cost infrastructural modification. It will cost a lot more than just packing boxes. These are not insurmountable. What might be insurmountable, however, is our tendency to reduce things, reductio ad absurdum, to these sort of histrionic and emotional factors. And I resent, frankly, the suggestion, not necessarily I resent it to you personally, Jabbar, because I know that you don't, you're not doing this personally, but the suggestion that some people are being, condescending and patronizing and so forth, I really think the issue is this. Your motion says to cease action and planning regarding the move until otherwise instructed to do so, and that a feasibility study be done. I take great stock in the fact that Dan Coughlin, who for months I know, even before the vote, I had heard describe his reasons for why he thought the move was important. I've spoken to many other people who thought their reasons for why the move was important. The only objections to the move I've heard is it's going to cost a lot and be disruptive. Well, no surprise, huh? It was expensive and disruptive when it was moved to D.C., I love D.C. It ain't about parish. It ain't about parochial. It ain't about province. It ain't about possession. It's about Pacifica and about taking it back to a place. It's a California corporation, and that's true. And it was born in the culture of volunteerism and community of Berkeley. That's true. Those cultures are around. But the real fact is, and we got the building built. We've heard all these arguments. The real fact is, however, it's not a matter, I feel, frankly, I'm beginning to feel increasingly persuaded that it is a matter of keeping it in D.C. and parochialism. And I resent that any of us would engage in that sort of, as Rob said, he's fearful of this falling into a confederacy of five different stations. I'm fearful of that as well. We're a united front, and we've got to maintain that and recognize that our differences are principled. And if they're not principled, we need to challenge each other's and our own assumptions in that regard. So I think that the motion is bad primarily because it says cease action and planning. I dare say the feasibility study is an integral part of the action and planning. The action and planning should proceed. The feasibility study should proceed. And we should make sure that Dan is communicating with us so that a move is not done that will destroy us. But I think we should proceed with it. I think we should get a feasibility study in September. I think we should vote against this motion so that we can proceed to do so. And if, by the way, if the feasibility study that Dan comes up with is unable to articulate a scenario whereby the transition could occur without destroying us, then I think that we will, proceed, and that's great. Otherwise, we'll destroy ourselves with all this accusation and personalization.
Okay. We have Bird and then Ray.
Who was that just spoke before me?
That was David Furtick.
Got him, David Furtick.
David, I guess Allah brought me behind you because let me say the following. First, I guess I'm going to have to be my usual odd and unusual self and say I'm opposed to moving. So I'm for the motion. So if that's the first one you've heard, you heard it from Bert Lee, and it probably doesn't surprise you. See, I would say, who amongst you who are on this call or who are on the board has ever run a network? I have. I owned over 15 radio stations and a TV station. And so I understand the issues that are being addressed and dealt with, and I can appreciate that. So I'm not opposed to the people who feel you must move. Again, being opposed to the motion, I'm opposed to the way in which it's being done. People who put us here in the interim, as someone stated, in our interim position, I made no commitment to on any issue. I didn't make a contract to come on this interim board. And if anyone feels differently when I finish, they can certainly identify where that was done. No one has responded to the 25 years and no new stations that was raised by one of my colleagues earlier. And most of those 25 years, if I'm correct, were spent in Berkeley. This organization, in my opinion, does not belong to Berkeley just because it was started there. I give great deference to Berkeley, and that they were the ones who years ago had a vision, and if one of the former members or one of the former board members or someone, a 90-year-old person, feels offended, I really feel for that. But I don't think that we have moved away from the mission of Pacifica, or at least over the years that I've been on the board. And I also, I guess, the other question, and I really didn't want to go here, but I'm going to have to say, before I ever came on any Pacifica board, was a constant and continuous contributor to its drive, and I still am. And I would ask the question, and I don't want an answer on this call, but you can call me and tell me, who amongst you have done that on a regular basis? So I would say I don't think that there is anything that we are doing to destroy or to that would leave the organization. And I would say even though I vote for the motion and am opposed to moving back to Berkeley, I'm willing to consider it. Lastly, I'm through.
Good. All right. Thank you. Ray.
Yeah, I'm a bit disappointed that in spite of my admonition, both Carol and to some extent Leslie really relied mostly on what I described that's my own opinion, on you know, emotional appeals to these issues. Carol refers to this 90-year-old woman who would like to die, you know, before she died to see things change. To me, I think as progressive people, we should be internationalists and certainly regionalists at least. And if, to me, if she couldn't die in peace, except if this institution was based in Berkeley, well, unfortunately, maybe she still has some learning to do before she kicks off. Seriously, though, I think
don't go there because they call you Berkeley.
What I want to hear before we adjourn is I want to hear some facts. I want to hear Jabari present his numbers and defend them, and I want to see people who question them question that. I think that's the basis for that. And if at the end of this we want to propose maybe some amendments to this resolution, that's quite feasible. But at this point, I think that the main thing that divides us, and as far as I'm concerned, is that one thing that I do accept is that the issues have not been debated openly. And there are people who are listening. I'm sure there are many people who haven't heard some of the facts yet. And I think that's what is left for us to do today, is to present the numbers, and including what Jabari described as the indirect cost. I'd like to very much to hear from Dan Coffey within that context. And then so we can make a decision.
Okay, folks, and I need the input from this body. We agreed over an hour ago to try and do this call within an hour. It's now more than an hour. It's just a little bit more than an hour. We can either move to a vote at this point or move in the direction that Ray suggests.
Can I make a suggestion?
Yes, of course.
Ray.
Yes.
I think that what you say has really much merit, but I think that people are already locked into what their position is, and I think that though this would be a recitation of the itemization of costs that I have come up with, which the other people have not presented any itemization of any cost, would really be maybe educational to the listeners, but I don't think it's going to change the mindsets of people here. So in the issue of time, I would like to, you know, forelay any types of those direct discussions, because that should have been on the table and discussed long before we have gotten here, and that's the whole point, that those kinds of discussions have never taken place, and doing them now is not going to change anybody's mind, in my opinion. So I would just call for the vote right now.
Yes.
So I think that does make sense.
Leslie, can I intervene here?
Yes.
Then?
In terms of procedure, when someone calls for the vote, Leslie, does that not take precedent?
Well,
technically.
Excuse me.
Answer my question.
It does. It does.
Okay, then let's move to the vote.
Usually, informally, it does. Dan asked as a request.
Informally, it does.
Whether or not he could inject something, and I would like him to have 1 minute to inject something.
So would I.
Dan?
Oh boy.
Yeah. There's just one issue that I think needs to be raised, which hasn't necessarily been raised, but is the problem that a delay or reversal in this decision causes operationally. We have made, as I said earlier, a number of different decisions and set in motion a whole series of different actions based upon the board's resolution of 6 months ago. Principally, yes, they involve issues about renting space, about not renting space, issues about finances, but most importantly, they affect personnel decisions and staffing issues. Wives and husbands, children, they make commitments.
Leslie, I would like to call for the vote. This has no effect.
Okay,
yeah, I would like to call for the vote. Thank you.
I'd like to hear
the answer. Thank you.
I'd like to hear Dan finish his statement. This is nonsense.
I think
would you put a mute on this, Bert?
This is the craziest thing I've ever seen.
Please, let's move to the vote. I think Dan's point was heard.
Do you use your mute button, please?
Can we please move to the vote?
I think, Madam Chair, if there's no order in this meeting, you can expel the member.
Well, I'd like to. There's no mechanism for me to do that, but I would like to move to the vote.
I would like her to try it.
I'm going
to
do the roll call. I'm going to start.
I'd like her to try it.
The roll call.
Okay.
I just want to know, does anybody feel the need to have the motion read again?
No.
No. Okay, then we're going to vote. Okay, and we're going to do it in alphabetical order like we do all.
Can we do it in reverse alphabetical order?
Sure.
Reverse alphabetical order, please.
Move that member.
Excuse me. Let's just do it in alphabetical order like we do all these votes. If people want to start changing now, we can do that in Houston. Okay, Teresa Allen. Teresa?
Let me think. I vote yes.
Yes. Okay, George.
George, there?
I'm here.
Okay, George, you ready to vote?
No.
No? Is that a no vote, or you know you're not ready to vote?
No, I'm not ready to vote.
Huh?
I'm not ready to vote.
Should we come back to you?
Okay.
Okay, Marion? Marion, are you there? I think he's not there, but we'll come back to him. Pete Bramson.
No.
James. James?
Oh, Ferguson?
Yes.
Okay, yes, I vote for.
Yes. Okay, David?
No.
Ray?
In the absence of the debate, I will vote yes.
Bert?
Oh, my goodness. Do you need to ask? Yes.
Yes.
Oh,
well, just for the record, you know, Rob?
Yes.
Carol?
No.
Jabari?
Yes.
Yes. I think so also. Okay, myself, Leslie, no. And we need to go back to George?
Yes.
Yes. And Marion, are you there? I guess Marion had to get off the phone. So I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 yeses.
Hey, Marion, they're calling for the vote.
And 1, 2,
they're calling for the vote.
3, 4. Wait, I have 1.
Where, did James vote?
8, 7, yes, James voted yes.
Did Carol vote?
Yes, Carol voted.
8, 7, 7.
Leslie voted.
They've gone through. What is the number, honey? You've gone through it. You add them up.
4, no. And 1, 2, 3, 4.
James voted no.
7.
Keep quiet. She's doing something.
Yeah, folks, it's 7. 7 yeses, 4 no.
Pardon? We need your vote.
That's 11. No, we, four, no. I don't know who Rob is talking to there.
Well, I guess Marion. This is the only person who didn't vote yet.
The vote is done.
Yeah.
It carries. 7 yeses, 4 noes. 3 people were not on the call at the time of the vote. So that's everybody.
Who voted? So Bert was yes, David was no, Jabari was yes.
Come on, man. What are you doing now? She's already added it up. It's what it is.
George, what do you
want to know? I'm just going through my notes. And Rob is...
I move that we end this meeting right now.
Okay,
I got a second.
Is there a second?
So, okay. Well, yeah, there may be a second, but I'll speak against the motion.
Okay, so what?
We just missed it then.
Folks. There's a motion on the floor to adjourn the meeting, and it's been seconded. I just want to move to a quick vote on that. All those – oh, I have to do the roll call again. Teresa?
I abstain.
George?
Yes.
877.
Marion is not there. Pete?
No.
James?
Yes.
David?
Yes. Yeah. No to no adjourn, right?
No. Ray?
No.
Bert?
Oh, God.
Yes? Is that a yes?
Yes, oh, God is a yes.
Okay, Rob?
Yes, I
Rob,
vote to adjourn.
Yes, vote to adjourn. Carol?
Yes.
Jabari?
Yes.
And myself? Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
So it carries 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 yeses, 1 abstention, and let me see, 1, 2, 3 no's.
Point of procedure, Chair.
Yes?
This is the only reason I thought that we should not adjourn the meeting immediately, and that was merely to reflect upon the impact of this vote relative to the balanced majority-majority issue.
We voted.
It's adjourned, so I just wanted to point that out.
I believe it was both a balanced majority and a majority. It was a majority, definitely, and it was...
I do not believe it was a supermajority.
No, but it doesn't need to be. If it's a majority and it's a balanced
majority... What is this discussion about if we've adjourned the meeting?
I know. I'm just clarifying the vote. This is not a formal part of the meeting.
It's a balanced majority. I hear what you're saying. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and I would appreciate in the future, if we're going to be laughing and disruptive, we should turn on the mute button so we do not interfere with the business of others.
Well, that's your opinion. I-